blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a birthday of glory divine. Amen.
That's where we find out where the strength is, isn't it? I love that verse. And we're going to possibly get back to it in a few minutes. This is really not my text, but it's a good place to start. Last night at the supper table, Claudia asked me, "Well, what are you going to preach on?" Always a good question to a preacher. I told her, I said, "Well, if the Lord does not change my mind, I want to preach on the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus Christ." And I believe that this verse right here speaks unto that very thing. We always triumph in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul speaks again very much to that same idea in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, where he declares that I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengtheneth me. I need that kind of a Savior. Our text, though, will be found in Romans chapter 8. At least we're going to read those verses of Scripture, a few verses of Scripture there, beginning in verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself or Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified." So that it's a done deal as far as God is concerned. And it is a done deal as far as I am concerned, long as I have Christ. And how long am I going to have Christ? As long as He has me. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Is that a blessing to you? "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, and also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us, then, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, there is no way that we can exegete all of these verses of Scripture. I never intended to do that today. But it is a foundation. In these few verses of Scripture, I know of no other place that it is stated more plainly, more simply, more clearly, unless it would happen to be in the book of Hebrews. But the writer of Hebrews approaches it from just a little bit different direction, but they're both saying the same thing. Christ died once for all. He's not going to die again. Because when He died, He carried the sins of His elect people to the grave. But when He rose, He left them there. They were paid for. Every one of them were paid for from beginning to end. They were paid for. In doing that, He made it possible for God to have mercy upon us. He made it possible for God not only to forgive our sins, but then in His resurrection, He made it possible for us to live that triumphant life. I understand this through Romans chapter 5. Verse 8 says, "For God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly," or died for us. "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Brethren, Jesus Christ arose from the dead, and He ascended to the right hand of God, and He is not idle there. He is sitting on that throne, and my Bible says, reign until all enemies are put under His feet. He is reigning for you and for me. He is watching over us continually, and He is directing our paths. Now, I said a moment ago that I need this kind of Savior. I have to have this kind of Savior. Because I cannot depend upon myself. The Apostle Paul himself said, we have no confidence in the flesh. Why? Because that which is of the earth is earthy. It cannot do anything but that which is earthy. You can beat it, or you can entice it, and it can do nothing but that which is earthy. The body, again, the Apostle said, is dead because of sin. But thank God that He also said, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I need a Savior that I can depend upon, that is not wishy-washy, that does not change His mind, that in whom is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. That's the kind of Savior that I need, I must have. Now, let me make a couple of observations here. Every person, irregardless of who they are, where they are, every person is either alive or is dead. There is no in between. Now, I'm not talking here about a physical life or death, but that's true too, isn't it? If you're alive, you're not dead, but if you're dead, you're not alive, right? There's no in between. But the spiritual application is just as exacting. Sometimes we tend to at least our language, our speaking, even when we're talking about the Bible, our speaking tends to give the impression that there is somewhere in between those two. It's like we're saying, well, brother, you know, we're talking to this fellow and we're trying to urge him, we're trying to urge him to believe. And it's like we're saying, well, you know, he's trying. He's really giving it all that he's got. Come on, you know, just a little bit more now. Just come on a little bit more and you got it. It's no good. If he is alive, you don't have to beg him and beg him and beg him and beg him. You know, I love some of the scriptures, especially in Jesus' day. Someone mentioned this morning, I think it's in Matthew chapter 15, woman that came to Jesus, this Gentile, called her a dog, right. But Brother Barney, did that discourage her? Wonder why not? Because he was alive unto Christ, and I believe that Jesus delayed just like he did with Lazarus. You remember what he did with Lazarus? He was waiting. And there was a little misunderstanding there too, wasn't there? Lord, if you had just been here, my brother had not died. Right? But dearly beloved, he that believeth in me shall never die. And if he does, he'll live again, right? I mean, that's the kind of Savior, though, that I need. But folks, either alive or dead. There's no gray area in there. There's nothing in between. And let me say this, that life is only by the Lord Jesus Christ. And He gives life unto whom? Whomsoever He will. Is He unjust? No. Because we are told that He might be just and the justifier of all of them that come to Him by Christ Jesus. Now, you're either dead or you're alive. You're either a saint or you're a sinner. But you can't be both. Again, we have this habit oftentimes of speaking of ourselves as though we are still sinners. Again, I have made this challenge before, and I challenge you again today. Show me where in the Bible a saint is called a sinner. We are saints. No, it is not of ourselves, but we are saints. But if we are saints, we are not sinners in the classic sense of that term. We do not desire to sin. It is our desire to be holy. Why? Because, well, I read the Bible and I read where I ought not to disobey the commandments of God. And so I have set out today not to break those commandments. You know what? The salvation of my Savior is a salvation of rest. If you don't believe that, read Isaiah chapter 28, then turn over to chapter 30. But it's a salvation of rest. God is not pleased in our works. I'm talking about the works of this flesh. God is not pleased in those works because those works are of the flesh. What God is pleased in is those works which He has ordained for us to walk in Christ Jesus. And we will walk in them. Because He has predestined. Guess what? We just read where He said that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now let me tell you, here's the kind of Savior that I need. I need an Alpha and an Omega Savior. Know what that means? It means that He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it for how long? Unto the day of Jesus Christ. I can rest in that. I cannot rest in anything that I can do or even think that I can do. The only thing that I can rest in is what Christ can do. I need an author and a finisher of my faith. That's the kind of Savior that I need. And I'm glad to tell you today that that is the kind of Savior that I have and that you have. If you are indeed a child of God, and that's the only kind of Savior that there is.
Amen.
There is no Savior. I know that people struggle. They struggle with these things. You know what? By nature, we're all Arminians. Every one of us, by nature, we're Arminians. We came forth from our mother's womb doing what? Speaking lies, brother. And guess what? As we got older, we didn't get any better. And look back, we learned how to polish it up and sophisticate it. And, we even got to where we could convince ourselves that we weren't lying. I know, because I was there. It's experience. I mean, the Bible doesn't just tell me that. I know it's so, because I was there. But when it pleased God, but when it please God to reveal Christ in me. I became a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things became new. I passed from death to what? To a twilight zone? Did Christ just call me? Or did He also justify me? Did He just justify me? Or did He also sanctify me? As He sanctified me, will He also glorify me? But you see, it's all His work, isn't it? And why is it that way? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a marvelous thing. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 2 asked this question. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Folks, there's only one salvation. And that is the salvation of God that was wrought in Christ. But once that salvation was wrought in Christ, it will never, ever fail. It will not fail. It would be dishonoring of God's Son and the sacrifice that He made if one for which Christ died went to hell. My Bible says, and years ago, when we were still in the Armenian churches, I began to read the Bible. Imagine that. Nobody had to tell me to read the Bible. Just like nobody has to tell me to pray. Nobody has to teach me how to do these things. My Bible says, first of all, that they shall all be taught of God. Now, I appreciate, I'm thankful for all the preachers and the messages that are brought. They're necessary to edify my soul. But folks, we don't teach one another in that sense. God teaches His people. And you can depend on that. You see, how can I put this? The work that we've in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ really is not work, in at least in the sense that it is laborious. For after all, the work is the Lord's. I remember some years ago when I was over in the Philippines, we were having a meeting and one of the Filipino pastors was preaching there. Brother Felix Delag was preaching and he got to talking something about a problem for God. And Brother Billy Esther piped up right quick and he said, it's no problem for God. Well, Brother Felix said, thought Brother Elias just he misunderstood him. And he starts trying to explain. Brother Eliezer says, it's no problem for God. And of course, what he was referring to was the fact that God says in Isaiah, nothing is too hard for Him. We've been studying through the book of Isaiah on Sunday mornings in our church, and we were in the 50th chapter in verse 2. He says, wherefore when I came, was there no man? When I call, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened? What's the next two words? At all? What does that mean, brother? What does it mean? It's not shortened at all. Not at all. That is such a... Those two little old words have got so much meaning to them. God, our sovereign Lord, will do all of His pleasure. Because He's the sovereign, almighty God. And it is His will to save unto Himself a people through the glory of His name. It is not only God's will to give life unto those for whom Christ has died and paid for their sins, but it is also God's will that He give unto His people abundant life. Folks, we're not just barely getting by. The salvation that God has provided is not just to get us barely by. His salvation is full. The Apostle Paul, speaking by the inspiration of God in the second chapter Colossians, it won't say Corinthians, but it's not, it's Colossians, he said, for we are complete in Him.
Right.
I don't have to rely upon myself. And if I do, it is for sure that I am going to fail. But by the same token, Christ is not going to fail. Again, in that 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and this is the chapter that really clinched once and for all in my mind and in my heart the sovereignty of God in His grace, and convinced me once and for all, mind and soul, that God's sovereign grace is forever. It is sufficient. There is nothing that's left out of it from beginning, from regeneration to glorification. Isaiah declares he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. My Savior came to this earth and He fulfilled the law. And then He suffered and He died carrying the penalty of my sins. Read Isaiah 53. We don't have time to do that. But read Isaiah 53. He satisfied my sins and then He arose. But dearly beloved, He's not walking around in heaven wondering what He can do that those people that He came to save might just believe in Him. I said a while ago He was reigning, and He is. He is reigning right today. But dearly beloved, He's also sitting at the right hand of the Father. Now, we're in the 52nd chapter, and it says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise, and do what? Sit down? I thought we were supposed to be busy. I thought we were supposed to be up and about and just running here and there and running here to and fro. No, dearly beloved, let me clue you in on something in case you didn't know it. You know, God not only was able to find you where you were, but God is able today to direct your path. Brother Hostway. Right? Isn't that what you said? I am a great believer in the providence of God. I know He gives us His Word, but folks, there's a great part of our life that you really can't find an answer in this Bible. You can find a principle that will cover every aspect of your life. But there are some things that you cannot find in this Bible that just tells you exactly what to do. It's not there. Why are you here today? Did you read somewhere in the Bible that you were supposed to come to Bentley, Louisiana today? You read that in the bulletin though, didn't you? Why'd you come? As I look back on my life, really from the very beginning, Brother Mark, I had no earthly idea where I was going or what I was going to be doing today or any other day. All that I know to do, and do I always do it? Well, not immediately. But you see, God has a way of getting us where He wants us, doing what He wants us to do, when He wants us to do it, the way that He wants us to do it. Me too, because that's the only way I can live. Now, of course, we could go on and on and on, but what's the point? They're fixing supper over here for us. But if you don't get the point by now, I don't know that you can get it. Now, again, somebody said, oh, but we're supposed to serve the Lord. Well, now, somebody has already read it today. I believe it was Brother Josue that said it. Don't worry. You will serve God because that is the purpose for which you've been called. You will worship Him. Again, I don't get up every morning, especially anymore. I don't get up every morning thinking, well, let's see now, what am I going to do today to serve God? My life is in Christ, and it has already been determined from the foundation of this world where I will be today, tomorrow, the next day, and what I will be doing in Christ Jesus. He always makes us to triumph in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is this so difficult for this simple, and it is simple, isn't it? It's just as simple as it can be. If Christ died for a person, then their sins are forgiven. Can they be except in heaven? But why is this so difficult, this simple thing so difficult for people to understand? Well, of course, the vast majority of people hate that idea. They hate the idea that God has the right to choose whom He will to save. They hate the idea that God can have mercy upon whom He will have mercy and harden whom He will. But there's also a lot of misconception today. About the blood of Jesus and the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus. Would I be wrong to say that the blood of Christ is not actually that which saves? The blood of Christ is not symbolic, right? Again, He actually died. He actually paid our sin debt. But the blood of Jesus Christ signifies that death by which our sins are paid and by which God is able to forgive and set aside those sins. See, it's not too difficult for us just to say blankly, well, the blood of Christ is sufficient for everybody's sins. But when it comes down to, did Christ pay for those sins with His death? It's a different thing. That narrows it down. There comes in limited or particular redemption, right? Now, one other thing quickly, and we got close. But another misconception today is, what is the purpose of the gospel? The accepted and the vast majority of people, when they think of the gospel, they think of it only as the saving effects of it. But someone already mentioned it earlier today, and I did not read the rest of that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 till right now. But what does it say? It says that we are the savor of death unto death to some, and the savor of life unto life to others. Who is sufficient? Yes, brother. Who is sufficient for these things? Christ is, isn't he? But you see, it was never God's intention to save the whole human race. And if you're caught up in that, then you're going to have a problem. Because it's obvious, Brother Barney, that they're not all going to be saved. In fact, the vast majority of them are not going to be saved. The truth of the matter is, from the time of Noah to the time of Christ, which is, 3,800 years? Something on in that nature. Only the descendants of Shem. And not all of them. There was just a remnant of those. And then God turned from Israel to the Gentiles. And guess what? There's going to be a fullness of the Gentiles. That's coming to an end too. But it was never intended. God never intended to save the whole human race. If He did, He would have put the sins of every man indeed upon Christ, and they would have all been saved. But in the 9th chapter of the book of Romans, we read this, "Thou wilt say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus?" Here's some of that bought, isn't it? "Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God," here's the crux of it, "what if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He," right? "Which He had afore prepared unto glory." Why, Lord? Why do it this way? Because the glory belongs to Him. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Did you die? Was it you that hung on that cross? Was it you that went into that grave? Was it you that arose from that grave? No, it was Christ. And thereby He bought again the right to have mercy upon whom He will have mercy, and to harden whom He will harden. So what if I am saved? What can I boast in? I can boast in Christ. And that's what it's for. Again, people, I hear it all the time, even among Sovereign Grace people. I don't understand why God saved me. You don't? There's The only reason He saves us is that He might be glorified. But He will be glorified because Christ died for His people. May God bless His Word and comfort the saints and strengthen us in the truth. We are strong in God, and we will triumph always. Amen.